Yeah, we'll check your email.
That's right.
I'll check it for you.
Everybody had a chance to look through the minutes? Mm-hmm. Happy with it?
The content of it?
We have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Oh, we already did that.
Second.
That we approved the agenda.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Yes, we approved lots of things tonight. Okay, so on to old business, the training session.
Okay. At the last meeting, we talked about different things we could do some training on. We asked everybody to give us your ideas of what you'd like to see as far as training. And Peter came back and said, well, I'd like to know just how a case has come up. And so I put together this little outline here, or Josie put it together for me, of what normally happens and how most cases come along. And so we put it down here, and you've got a copy in front of you here. If you've got any questions as I go through it, just let me know. Basically, there's three different ways. I mean, first way is somebody comes in to get a permit. They're approved for the permit. They start the job. Sometimes they may not call me to come out and do a final on it, and that's usually a warning sign that they did something that they shouldn't have done. Or sometimes they do, and I go out there and there's been something added to the permit that I didn't know about, and it's not compliant, and that's why I didn't know about it. So then they sit there and they plead the fifth, and basically at that point in time, I give them two different options. I say, look, either you can file for a variance, or you can remove it. And I usually give them some sort of timeline to do that. They've got to file paperwork within 30 days prior to the next scheduled Board of Adjustment hearing, so normally I'll give them 30 days for them to file the paperwork. If I don't see anything, then I'm going to start finding them right away. Most of the time, I can talk them out of trying to do the variance. I've had to find very few people. They usually realize it's a dead end, and so they bring it into compliance.
So the people you're dealing with here are mainly the builder, building a new...
Sometimes it's the homeowner, believe it or not. Yeah. They think it's Kerry Beach. You know, we all get along here. Why couldn't I be able to do this? Another one is basically denial. Somebody comes in for a permit. I've had this happen several times. One pretty recently, where applicant and the homeowner, same people, they applied for a permit and it wasn't going to work. The ordinance will not allow it. And so I denied the permit. Gave them their options as far as ask for a variance or ask for an appeal to my decision. And at that point in time, what they normally want to know is, well, how do these things normally go? What's the track record on these? How many appeals to decision are reversed? How many variances are issued? And I've had, usually what I tell them is not very many. You're more than welcome to look at our records and go through them so you can see kind of how they go. And I've had one guy actually go through the records for the past 10 years to find out whether or not he was going to be able to win a case. He still lost it. But anyway, that was for the deck over on Sloop Point Lane. I don't know if y'all remember that one.
Yes, I remember that.
So when you're doing this, how's the relationship with you?
It's usually very cordial. I tell them straight up, say, look, I'm a firm believer and you should be able to do what you want to do with your property. But we do have these fossil ordinances right here. You know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this is what it is, you know. And so usually people don't get mad at me until they don't get the answer that they want in one of the appeals, you know. And another one is the approval. I issue a permit and this is the one where I issued a permit and somebody next door decides they don't like it and they file for the BOA. Happened over at Atlantic Avenue. Those are all
the all-nighter we were here.
Yeah, that was the all-nighter.
That was the
Marathon.
And y'all know how that one goes.
Actually, the house turned out beautiful.
Oh, it's gold.
Isn't it? Very and so it's beautiful too.
But you can see why he fired him. He's got these beautiful picture windows looking at the house.
You want to see what they're about to do to the driveway there. They are about to rip all the concrete out. And y'all are familiar with Hatteras Ranch. If you know at our beach crossovers, we've got those ramps set down there that are made out of two-by-fours. They're getting ready to install that along their driveway. That's going to be their driveway, this Hatter's ramp. So it's going to be like
house?
It's going to be like a wood driveway.
That'll be nice.
I think it's going to look really cool.
Yeah.
So they are following through with what they said they'd do in that meeting. Then another way is somebody starts a project without a permit or decides, you know, I've had it happen before where somebody's come in for a permit and I said it can't happen and they left all the paperwork with me and I decided to drive by a couple months later and it's built. And in this instance, if I drive by and see what's going on, I'm going to issue a stop work order. I'm going to tell them they need to come in and get a permit. I'm going to tell them what's going to be, what's allowed and what's not right then and there. That's usually where we get into a little bit of an argument. They're not happy with what I got to say at all. And mainly it's because they already knew they weren't allowed to do that, and that's why they did it without a permit. Once again, I pretty much give them a timeline and tell them they can either come in and get a proper permit or they're going to be assessed a fine. In this instance, if somebody starts a project without a permit, there's a stop work order issued, and they're made to come get a permit right away. When I issue a stop work order, that's an automatic $200 fine. And then when they are issued the permit, their permit fee is doubled automatically because they did not start that project with the permit. So already they're kind of mad at me.
Yeah.
And normally I'm not that hard on unless I can just tell, but you know, they are trying their best to get around everything and they're just being a complete...
But that wouldn't actually come to us for any kind of...
Not at that point, no, sir. The only time it would come to your table is whether or not what they've done is in compliance or not.
It's only by observation that you know this has happened, that you get compliance.
I've called them a couple times on things that I thought were, and I would have recused myself if it ever came up, but that one house at the corner, I thought the fence was like too close, and I called him and he went out there and he looked at it and he said, no, it actually...
Yep.
My depth perception was off, and it was fine. So that's how he gets a lot of referrals.
I get a lot of complaints, Peter. And I drive around a lot too. I'm sure y'all see me driving around a lot in my black truck. I'm always driving around. A lot of it is complaints, and a lot of it is me driving around and just noticing things. And that was the last one. You know, I'll get anonymous phone calls all the time, or people just call just to complain. And I will check out every single complaint just to see. I feel like the residents and the property owners deserve that at least.
And they're anonymous sometimes.
Sometimes. I'll just get a message. Hey, John, go check this out. I don't know who it is. No idea. And then every single one, you know, if they complain on somebody, please don't let them know I called, you know.
Yeah. Good neighbors.
So that's pretty much the breakdown. That's kind of what happens. And we've included a letter that I've... This is actually... It's not necessarily a sample. This is a real letter that I've sent out to somebody that they had built a 6-foot fence on the property line, which is not allowed. And that's just kind of an idea of what I would do right then and there. After they received this letter, the first call I'll get was, what do I have any other options? And at that point, then I say, well, you can't apply for a variance. I will move that 7 days that I've given you to bring it into compliance to 30 days if I know that you're filing paperwork. And we'll work with you around that. But right now, that's the way it is. If you choose not to, you will be starting to get fined. Civil citation starting within 7 days.
And when you find people, I mean, how does that process occur?
It's not the best process in the world. It's very aggravating, to be honest with you. Our civil citations basically have to handwriting, and if they don't live here, as in this case, I have to send them to them, registered mail, each one. And bottom line, our town attorney will not touch them until I have a couple of $100 worth of civil citations accrued. And then we'll either take them to small claims or we'll put a lien on the property.
But they have no recourse, correct? Like at Carolina Beach Civil Citation, they have no recourse.
No.
They
don't
pay it or they...
No, they really don't have a recourse.
If they don't pay it, what happens?
I can put a lien on the property.
Yeah.
I just did one over on Hamby. Last summer, yard was a mess. Couldn't get them to do anything. Complaints every single week. Finally, I went over there, and it basically cost me $2,500 to have somebody go in there and clean the place up. God wouldn't pay it. Finally gave it to the town attorney, and we took him to small claims, and he's now on a payment plan. He's paying us back $100 a month.
And cheaper to clean it up.
Well, you got to identify with the guy's situation, too, which I knew it was there, but at the same time, just somebody's situation does not mean everybody else has to suffer through it, too. So,
it depends how they feel about it, whether they think that you guys should be going to do anything, or it's just a threat.
Yeah, you're right. Really, a lot of people will call you bluff. You know? Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's not the most efficient system in the world as far as the citations, but we work on it. One thing I've been pushing for a number of years, I wish we could attach these citations to the water bills, I think. I've been trying to do that for a while, but the town attorney said there's no way we can do that.
So. And I guess that does give them their day in court if you go to small claims. If they contend there's some issue or defense, then they get to raise it then.
Yeah, and that's I document everything. I take pictures. I'll make sure I have a timeline of how many times I tried to get up for them. This phone call on this date. I sent this letter on this date. Everything I send is registered letters. And then they get good at taking the registered letters. They won't take them from this address or the town of Curie Beach, so I have to...
Mail.
You know what I mean?
Be a little sneaky.
You got to be a little sneaky, that's right.
Like we go over with Domino's Pizza, knock, 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 and guys, you're under arrest.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I'm talking about.
What about all these hoarders? I mean, you got several hoarders in this town with their yards.
Yeah, there's one in particular down on 5th and J.
J, yeah.
So I'm Old Man Flowers.
Is he still around?
Oh, my God.
No, he's passed on, but his son and his daughter and his wife still live there.
Maintaining the tradition.
Oh, Glenn, hey, he was a character.
A guy bought the house, backed up to it, and he asked to put up a rip fence a couple weeks ago. And the guy no sooner started digging up holes for his 4x4s, but Mr. Flowers called the mayor and started complaining about it.
About the fence? Even though all the junk in his yard?
Well, that's what I told the mayor. I said, does he realize what he's doing right now? Because I know this sounds bad, but I've tried to ignore that problem over there. For a couple of reasons. Mainly because I know that he just passed away within the last year. But secondly, it's just that's him. That's always has been. I've tried to talk to him about it before. But sooner or later, it's going to come down the line on that one.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
It looks like
I know what it looked like when
it
I worked
in the junkyard.
That person, I would say, should have a 6-foot fence around it.
I mean, that's the other problem. It's been like that for how long since you worked here?
I haven't been here 13 years.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
oh, yeah, it's been
and it was that way when I came here, so that's 20 years ago.
Yeah. It's progressively got worse.
Oh, I'm sure it has.
John, is that considered a nuisance, or is it specifically?
I could hit him with about 6 different ordinances right now.
Maybe we should call
Waters.
That's Joe. Maybe they
can
help clean it up. That show's
crazy.
So
once you tell them, for example, to file for variance, then what do? They get together with the clerk?
They'll usually come to me and say, I'll say, just come to my office. I'll have everything ready for you. And I'll go ahead and pull out the paperwork for them and have everything ready, and I'll walk them through what they need to do. I really do. I try to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I try to help them in every way possible. And one thing, I always push. If you're going to file for this, this has got to be a hardship. This can't have to do anything with money. It doesn't matter if you spent $10,000 doing what you did there. What is the underlying reason for why you spent that money? That is what is important, not the amount of money. It's got to be for some kind of reason. And most of the time when you sit there and try to explain that to them, that kind of scares them off a little bit because that's going to be their first argument.
You know, John, a question about the fences. I mean, the 4-foot fence has been in place forever. But I notice now, driving through the neighborhood, which I drive through a lot too because the property is out of hand, you'll see a nice 4-foot fence around the property. But then you'll see a 6 or 7-foot fence, like right around their little patio. Is that permitted?
That's right. If the fence meets the setbacks, it can be 6 foot tall.
Oh, okay.
That was something that was changed about 3 years ago.
Oh, okay. Because I noticed more and more of them are coming out.
There's a couple. Most people kind of shy away from that because you're basically shrinking your yard is what you're doing. But yeah, I mean,
they're mostly around patios and...
Yeah, acting as a screen type thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's got to meet a 10-foot rear and 5-foot sides in order to be 6 feet tall. A good instance of that is right across from Harry's house over there where that guy built the pool.
Thank God it's for sale.
Is it real?
He's got it for sale finally.
That's a weird cat over there.
Oh, yeah, you got that one. The attorney that lived, that bought the house next to him, Steve Porter.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah, he says he will
never... That's where Steve lives?
Yeah, he will never use his rear deck ever again. So he was out on his rear deck this past summer. And what he saw going on in that pool, he just said, no, thank you.
Yeah, he told me about it.
I'll never hear that story enough.
He'll be happy when they move.
It's just it's worse than swimming in the nude.
He's got four. Well, he used to have 9 Great Danes when he lived on my side of the street. And I think Animal Control, I finally got them to go down there and pay him a visit. And they got rid of him. So now he has 4 Irish setters.
Last time I was in there, I was hopping around that yard watching out from landmines. They were all over the place.
Yeah, and he every 6 months he tears out all of his carpeting because the dogs are pissing and shitting all over the place. Mm. I mean, it's bad. They're bad tents. Bad people, but he owns it.
Well, it seems like there's an uptick in construction right now, so you have a few more houses going on. Not at the pace it used to be, but how do you control in some of the contractors coming in? You see these guys come in, and there's some that probably aren't properly licensed.
That is the first question that I ask them when they come in the office, somebody I don't know. When somebody applies for a new house specifically, I ask for a copy of their license and also a copy of their insurance. In the meantime, I still run their license number through the North Carolina General Contractors website to make sure that they are properly licensed.
What about the subcontractors? You know, you can sub and they sub, you know.
They still have to get their permits through New Hanover County. They have to apply for those permits using my base permit. I know that they're licensed also, and rarely do I get to anybody down here that I don't know anymore.
Right.
Same way with general contractors. Rarely do I get anybody new, ever. So, it's not something I'm necessarily concerned about. On top of that, in the past year, we've gotten a lot better about requiring privilege licenses on everybody. And in order for them to get a privilege license, they've got to present whether or not they are a licensed contractor or not.
So the privilege license is kind of the trigger?
I know whether or not they are or not, I guess.
What did, say for home improvements, what constitutes having to come to you to get a permit built?
Just about anything. I've gotten everybody down to, you know, I ask people just give me a call. If you're unsure, no matter what it is, give me a call. And even the homeowners. I've stressed this over and over again the last seven years I've been here. I'm here to, I'm paid with y'all's tax money to take care of y'all. I mean, that's what I'm here for. Call me up, tell me what's going on. If your contractor doesn't want you to get a permit, that ought to be an obvious warning sign. The way our town ordinance is written, I can pretty much require a permit for anything. Now, do I? No. Things like...
Short of lane sod. Short of lane sod.
Everything. I can require a permit for that.
You do?
I can.
I knew that there used to be a dollar figure, like if it was over $3,000, you had to get a permit.
I've heard different variations of that, and I've never seen that in the code.
Really? Okay.
There is a dimension in the building code that says if anything, your building's over 10 by 12, then it's required that you get a building permit. The way our ordinance is written, you've seen the ordinance that was brought up in the last BOA session. A prerequisite to any construction, demolition, remodeling, or anything is that they get a building permit. And that's pretty much a catch-all that our ordinance maintains. Now, if somebody comes in and they're reshingling their house, the roof, normally I won't make them get a permit. There's a couple of things I want to know. I want to know if this is a second layer. I want to know who's doing the work, and I want to make sure they're getting a privilege license. Other than that, I'm not going to be too concerned with that. Redoing the siding, not worried about it. Now, if you're putting in new windows, yes, I want a permit on that. Okay. There's different rhymes and reasons for everything that I'm trying to do.
And the windows would be because we need to have the right...
The windows are because I want to make sure that you have the correct DP rating, the different design pressure rating, and also the impact-resistant glass. In addition to that, you wouldn't believe how many people install windows the wrong way as far as the flashing methods. Mm-hmm. So if your windows go in the wrong way, 2 or 3 years, you got some significant rot damages.
What if somebody doesn't get a permit and you find out about it?
I said, normally I'm pretty easy to work with. I walk in there, I say, look, I go in there and I try to get a read on who they are first. And most of the time, I just tell them, come by the office, let's get a permit. And I don't mind what you're doing here. It doesn't look bad, I understand, but I still require a permit. And they'll come in and get what they need to do, and they'll come out and check their work before they continue on.
So they don't meet, for example, don't meet the offsets.
That's automatic stop work order. You cannot continue until we get this situation rectified.
So that's just a variance, and it's not either it's a variance or...
There's no way it can be anything but a variance, yes. Yeah.
How do you coordinate with, or do you do any mechanical inspections?
No, I don't do any of the trades. No, I'm responsible for building and fire inspections for the town of Curry Beach. Hanover County does electrical, mechanical, and plumbing.
How do you coordinate?
I have every one of them cell phone numbers. Every one of their cell phone numbers, the only one that I coordinate with on pretty much a weekly basis is an electrical contractor, and that's because our roles are not similar, but they're crucial to each other. Mm-hmm. And so if I have a question, I will call them. If they have a question, they will call me. And we're usually pretty good about keeping up with each other.
And they actually come down?
The contractor is the one that coordinates them to come out and do this. Inspections, if that's your question. Yeah, I don't necessarily have anything to do with when they come down or what they're coming down for.
But sometimes you do show up
when
they're
down. Oh, yeah. Well,
see you.
A lot of times they'll call me up and say, look, I want you to look at something while I'm here, or I have a question, or, you know.
Okay. And we probably need about 2 or 3 assistants.
I'm continually busy, yes.
If the building level picks up a bit, you're going to be...
I don't see it happening anytime soon, though.
No.
There's a lot of remodeling stuff going on. I see a lot of that.
There's a lot of that, yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen some surround us, there's you know, buildings going, you know, building going on. Not a lot.
Like the pink house that had flood?
Yeah.
Oh, over there in Mississippi? They're done now.
Yeah.
The one in Alabama where they're building next to the owner of film fishing.
Yeah, did y'all, that pissed me off. I rode by, and, excuse my language. I came out Thanksgiving morning. If I'm not doing anything on any of these holidays or anything like that, or on the weekends, I'm usually riding through the beach. I want to see what's going on. There was four construction workers out there doing framing on Thanksgiving morning, and that's the kind of stuff that just absolutely irritates me.
They probably didn't want to be there either.
I doubt it. They were illegal. I won't say they're illegal, but they were aliens. So they probably wanted to be there.
I had the same thing on Thanksgiving. I was up at Beach Mountain when I got back down there. And all I could hear when I woke up on Thanksgiving morning was people breaking down the deck.
Didn't that just kind of make you mad a little bit?
Right.
Yeah.
It was the same illegal aliens. Not illegal aliens.
Move from one side to the other. Just keep working.
When they can work and when they can't work.
Our ordinance, and I haven't checked this since Thursday. It says that you're not allowed to work. It gives the specified hours 7 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday 9 to 4, Sundays not at all. And I can't remember if I put in there anything about holidays or not. Regardless, that should be common sense. That's a federal holiday. There shouldn't be anybody working that day. Unless it's public safety.
This is a target of Walmart or something.
I don't know. care, man. That's just like, there's people live on the other side. This is at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, come on, really? Call the contractor. Say, are you kidding me? Anyway.
Those guys that are doing the road are just over in Carolina Beach. Mm-hmm. I mean, fence of ours is right next door to that. I mean, yeah, they start.
I want to have a dumpster set out the road.
Yeah, they're working. When I take the kids to the bus, school bus at 7, they're working already. And she's mad as hell about it because not only they're waking them all up, they're looking out the window and she's got a couple of kids and they're peeing on the into a bush rather. They've got the porta potties, but they don't use it.
Where's that at?
It's in Carolina Beach.
Oh, okay.
Not you.
All right.
Where's that?
The other one's ever been on the phone. It's only two blocks from me because I arrive almost on the Carolina Beach line. But that whole building project, that's going to take forever as well, because of the speed at which they're building those roads there. Yeah. There's a lot of work to do. Okay.
Any other questions?
You got involved in any of this? What do they call it? The 45 homes thing.
The what?
I got this because of my window and house insurance. Everyone's seen it. You can now get yourself certified as a 45 home.
A fortified home.
You've got to have a hip roof, you've got to have shutters around, hurricane shutters, and it's got to meet a gold standard.
I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I have heard about it, yes.
Yeah, I was just curious whether you got involved. I mean, the reason I've been following it up is it's 16%, it can add up to 16% discount on your homeowner's insurance.
It's a pretty good amount of money.
Considering how much you pay down here, it's a lot of money. I went and registered on the website, and they said, "Oh yes, I'm glad you registered." Well, and here's the list of people that you can call to do an evaluation. And there was I think two that covered in Hunter County, and I even managed to get one of them to answer the phone. Yet, so. I doubt that if it's doing this because
do we ask them if you have a gun in every room if that's 45?
Yeah, that's
your home security.
Yeah, my home security.
It sounded to me like someone had a good idea.
And
didn't have the implementation process to go to put it in place. So. So I've just been wondering if this, what's the name of the IHS or something like that? Down in Florida. But basically, then you have a structural engineer certified.
From Florida?
Not from Florida, but the organization is.
In Florida.
In Florida. Oh, okay. And it's a government sponsored activity, so. But one of them was, is it Andrews in Wilmington? They were one of them. I mean, they're structural engineers and they have to certify you properly. I wonder if this was going to end up with somewhere in the building codes eventually.
I'll ask around and couple contractors see if they know anything about it.
Theoretically, homes built after a certain year should be within those guidelines anyway.
Yes.
There were three things. One was hip roof, and I was asking them what they... And hip roof to me is subject to interpretation of exactly what it is. The second was the storm shutters, and the third was... meeting structural standards for this.
A lot of that's your thread of rod running from the top plate down to your foundation, yeah. Certain things like that.
Yeah. And you're right in what you say. If you've got a fairly recent home, they should have complied with that anyway. But you don't expect that anyway, do you? I mean, it's,
so.
If it was structurally built to.
Well, I think that exceeds the building code, the code we have today.
Yeah.
Well, it really depends. Most of the houses that we get done here are engineered anyway. So I'll check the engineer to make sure it's within the parameters of the building code, which most of the time is well exceeds the building code.
Yeah.
But yeah.
kind of what your return on investment, it could take you 10 years or recoup just putting storm shutters around your house.
Yeah, but then you got to think about your resale value, your peace of mind, different things like that, too.
You don't have a mind.
My wind and hail insurance just makes me mad every year. Once a year when I get the bill.
What about, I guess that we're going to see more of the solar panels, things like that.
That's something that our P&Z is working on right now. We're going to try to institute some sort of language in our ordinance. I won't say to allow, but I won't say to restrict. There'll be certain guidelines that will have to be met as far as...
I think it's balanced, too. You have to work through it because you want to be considered green.
Yeah.
You don't want to be anti-green.
And there's one of our P&Z members have already identified different lawsuits that are going on mainly in the California area with some different things. But bottom line, the area that we're looking in right now is allowing the panels on the roofs, roof decks of houses, which I've already allowed several because I don't have anything that doesn't allow them. And but there would be certain parameters, such as it can't be up off, set off the roof more than, say, 12 inches. It's got to be 2 feet below the ridge line, so it's not to be, poking up over. Different things like that. Now, one thing that we don't want to allow, or at least it's the feeling that I've been getting from P&Z and my personal feeling, we don't want to allow these freestanding solar panels in someone's backyard, or for instance, a large wind vane in the backyard.
Oh, we don't want those.
Things like that.
You have to be a good 10 feet in air for it to be.
Right. I'll cancel mine.
Yeah. Things like that. We're already trying to look at and identify and write the best possible language for it.
Get water for your backyard and generate solar panels.
Yeah, I've already gotten a couple of the water heater ones, or the solar-powered water heaters. They're pretty cool. The one over there in Mississippi, that's what happened to that house, I'm sure you know. But apparently they put PEX fittings instead of copper fittings on the return valve, so they overheated and blew out. That was a plumbing problem. Plumber's fault, but...
Plus he's got a geothermal there, too, so...
Yeah.
Those are nice.
It's long enough to get a payback.
Right. How long is that?
Yeah. As one of our P&Z, Craig Galbraith, he keeps saying, 10 years, I bet you're going to be able to get solar-powered shingles. You never know.
I mean, you already have the now. It's almost like a film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So incorporating into roofing is...
It's really
a cost. How much you want to spend and save a little bit of money.
Yeah, but if you get it to where you're not reliant on any outside energy, that'd be pretty awesome.
The only challenge is the storage.
Yeah.
There's not a battery system that's conducive to... I mean, if you're changing batteries, and you got to deal with that battery thing every 5 years at a minimum.
That can be very expensive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to get off the grid.
Yeah.
Anything about generators?
I consider that a structure and it hit me in the setback. Other than that, I haven't restricted them.
You have those ones that are somewhat freestanding? Or you can make them freestanding?
Most of them are set alongside the house. They're propane powered. There's a couple of those around here. They look like an air conditioning unit on the side of the house.
My neighbor's just about... Not complaining about this. Well, this is about 6 feet, 8 feet out into his backyard. That's why they built it up on a structure.
Really?
That's
weird. That's probably maintain the noise.
Yeah.
I don't know how loud they are. A couple that I've seen that are propane powered.
Quieter than his dogs.
Quieter
than his dogs.
So pretty good though.
He's got a big dog.
He's got two St. Bernards. Biggest one's 240 pounds. You always know he's out there.
Yeah, dog.
You don't hear yap, yap, yap. You hear boom.
Yeah, that's the old super thing.
That's
right. It's a backhoe.
The bobcat went up the yard. Yeah.
Those dogs are getting old. It's costing him a fortune each month. Yeah. So drugs and stuff that he or something. He's had them since babies. They've been together. It's a great love story, too. But they sleep, they spoon each other at night. Sleep, you know, they've had one litter of 11. Mm. And just they're incredible dogs. I mean, the kids love them. I mean, they slobber all over you.
Yeah.
St. Bernard,
she's
there.
Yeah, they're great.
They got a fence about this tall and dogs about that tall.
but they could still over there.
They just
just, well, because you're obviously pretty busy. Not much comes through you and ends up with us.
I really try to run a huge interference. Yeah. I try to keep it out of there. And I do that because I don't want to be here on some nights.
I'm sure you don't.
I know they're a waste of time. And so I will do everything I can to try to talk them out of it because, judging from past experience, they're just not going to get it. And when I get up there and make my argument, there's no holds barred.
It's always bothered me. I mean, even the ones we've got, they're almost, a lot of them are just open and shut. You know, it's like they're appealing to us to change the ordinance so that they can do what they want to do. It's almost that, which we can't do. So.
And you've been there when I've gotten, I won't say reprimanded by some members, but I've been told that this should have never even come here, and I don't really have any control of that. Bottom line, it comes down to them. If they want to pay $375 to apply for that variance, and that's up to them. No. So.
I think a lot of them, there are a lot of people who aren't from this area, and they come from much larger towns that have a much broader interpretation of their guidelines. And I think they come here, and it's very restricted compared to a lot of bigger
cities. Well, everything's for a reason, and everything affects everybody in a bigger way in a small town.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying I think a lot of people are stumped by it because, you know, they come from like a Raleigh or a Washington, D.C., and the ordinances are so different. They're much more lenient.
Not to mention, you probably won't be right about it. You probably won't ever have to give a permit, really. I mean, you got 50 inspectors over 150 square miles. I mean, they're not going to ride by your house but once every couple of months.
And that's a lot of it. I mean, you know, you live in the D.C. area. What happens in one neighborhood, if they give a variance there, the one, two, you know, 2 miles away will never see it or hear about it.
Yep.
So what about the park?
What about the park?
How about the walkway? I'm ruining my walking.
So what was the deal in the park? It was like the concrete was out left?
There's a bunch of things. Really, I shouldn't be talking about it. Yet.
Was it wrong? Did I roll a string tape?
Why would I have to?
You can't shake it.
Should I turn off
the string tape? No, it's we've retained an additional attorney, and that's just kind of how it's going.
They're not going to ask for a variance.
Variance from our expectations.
That's not the same thing as the walkway. Is that for the same contractor?
Yes.
Yeah. Same contractor? So it's held up both projects?
We've told him to stop work on everything because of his quality of work. That's, I guess it's the best way to put it.
Yeah, Dean phrased it somewhat like that when I spoke to him. But in more colourful terms, I think.
Kind of like the way he did when he called the city.
Yeah.
My only concern, I mean, it's none of my business about that whole project. My only concern is the detraction for the visitors come spring and summer.
Oh, yeah.
And then the safety issues associated with that just being left like it is.
Believe me, it's all of our concerns, and it's every bit of business.
Because you see people trying to walk across it, trying to get across the ramps, even though they have the yellow tape on them.
It's been trying, to say the least.
Maybe they should have had the prisoners do it like they did the sidewalks.
We actually mentioned that to them. We actually told them, we said we had prisoners come down and do other walkways, and they did a much better job than you did.
So how do we compare with what we do with Carolina Beach? How does it? Is it very, very fairly compatible, or are they different?
I'd say we're pretty comparable. From what I've seen on or heard about some of their cases, they seem to be a little bit more liberal as far as their codes are concerned. But I'd say we're pretty compatible.
That's very important that we are.
Well, just looking at the ordinances, you can see the differences. How Carolina is great. It's a prettier town in many ways, I think.
You won't believe how many times I hear that.
For lack of any other word, that's not very.
Other than
coming through Carolina Beach, they did clean up that main room, and that was very attractive.
I hear it all the time.
Yeah. That was my pay raise. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily care if they did or not.
Yeah,
it does look better.
That was my pay raise for 3.5 years. And so forth, so on.
You live in Kerry Beach?
Yeah, I live in Kerry Beach. Thank God I bought that house when I was making money.
When it was real money.
When it was real money, yeah.
I hear the same things from their board members and from their staff. As y'all bring out, you know, we don't get enough cases. We don't feel like we're up on enough of this. And actually, I haven't sit in on any of their cases, but I've heard different things and read them in the newspaper where they struggle kind of with the same things as y'all did. You know, it's what is actually a hardship. We don't get enough of this. We really need to be doing more training, things like that. So I know that they're kind of in the same boat as y'all are.
Yeah, we're not pushing you for more cases.
Well, I'm not going to assume that.
Especially not like the last one.
That's right.
No, I mean, we've been appealed to Superior Court, and we've been upheld. So I really think for the board, we're doing a very good job in interpreting what John brings us and being fair about it. So I don't have a problem with how we're doing business.
What would be some of the biggest challenges you have in tackling cattle?
I've already gotten on Charlie a couple of times about this. And it's mainly with Charlie, and I'm not trying to single him out, but it really is. If y'all could just stay on schedule, when we're in one of these cases, stay focused. I've seen it happen too many times. The people that are, the applicant or whoever's arguing against me, you know, I've seen them try to catch y'all off guard with different things, and I've seen you sway a little bit, but then I've seen you go off on a totally different avenue, and that's usually because of Charlie. And so, you know, you've got your agenda, mm-hmm. You've got your process that you need to go through. Just go through it. That's the only thing I can say. And yeah, I hope you don't take that the wrong way.
Yeah.
Charlie made a statement to me two or three weeks ago. I came down one Saturday morning for coffee with the mayor for something. And he was here and he says, you know, getting back to this Board of Adjustment thing, I really just feel like we should know all the pertinent ordinances that have to relate to every single case that comes before us so that there are no other questions that come up as the case unfolds. I say, Charlie, I do that for you for every case. I present you with every piece of ordinance that pertains to each case. He says, but yeah, there's other questions that come up. I said, Charlie, you're the only one that ever brings up unrelated questions that have nothing to do with what we're talking about. And that might be why he's not here tonight, because I made him mad. But,
I think he's more lovely than his dog.
Yeah, don't think you can ever really insult Charlie. Just keeps coming back.
You know, don't take that wrong when I just said.
I think it's good feedback, and I guess the last case we had was more of the extreme.
Plus we had people. I was new.
Yeah, you're being videotaped, and
just concerning.
And I'm sitting there and I said, he's not going to read word for word this PowerPoint presentation.
And he did.
Twice in some places, twice. But anyway, it is what it is. But that was probably more the extreme.
Yeah, there's one other one that was before your time, you remember it, it was for the Roland Surf Hotel, there's lots there. That was the other extreme that I still don't agree with the way that went down, but I think that was the only time that I would be.
Mitigating factors to that one.
Yeah, I guess you could say so.
Yeah, that seems good. That's good.
Outside of the meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and I understand where you're coming from.
And it's going to happen. I mean, that's basically you're sitting in a little courtroom when you're doing these meetings, and so it's going to happen regardless. But I didn't want to sound biased when I say that, because the last thing that I should be doing is trying to swerve you prior to the meeting.
Absolutely right.
Sorry. No, I think you, I mean, from where I sit, I think you presented us with the information. We asked questions. There was options. We things we'd like to see. We talked about this house out here. You know, we want to make sure it's, you know, there's an improvement that's being made there. We don't want it to go backwards and make it worse. But I think these people out here did everything they said and more. And then again, you know, that becomes your job to make sure they do that. And you heard what they said, and they said they were going to make those improvements, and they did. So I was pleased with, you know, what I decided. Because it was, I think, you know, there was, I mean, in my opinion, the fellow who brought up all the discussion, he had options. It was he didn't have to do that, and he basically controlled it years before.
Yes.
And so these people bought it. They paid a lot of money for it. They're paying, spend a lot more money, and it's really making that piece of property they have better than it was before.
Well, it was not I was not on the board when their property was came before the board and was approved for them to build that monstrosity that they built. But I was in the audience because I was trying to get on PNC, so I was here to, I mean, they deliberately landlocked themselves that way, and they deliberately did to them what they were going to do, and then had the nerve, really, that's the way I looked at it, they had the nerve to come after these other people that they sold the property to and say, you can't do what we did, you know, and build us right in front of us, and so forth.
And these people paid a lot of money for that little piece of land.
Told it twice.
Yeah.
I studied on that long and hard for every issue that permit is coming. So
I mean, I try to take a logical approach. I mean, I look at it from a builder's perspective, and, you know, in what you go through, and as a taxpayer, and someone sitting on the board. So I look at it different ways and said, you know, if these people do this, and this, like they say, and they're following all the guidelines, I don't see any reason why, you know, it wouldn't work. It's better than it was. Heck of a lot better than it was. I don't see that orange house when I ride through there.
It made the whole street look better.
It's a pretty house.
I don't think anybody was, you haven't got any complaints that we hate light blue. So.
Well, that house on the third or fourth is still for sale. The ones that peel the front porch.
Yep.
The ones across the
No.
They could build that porch.
It used to be a hoarder's house, too, before they got it.
Third and it used to be bright pink. Right?
I don't know. No.
Fourth.
Wanted to build the porch out.
Well, it's down the street.
It'd be longer.
That's right. Two places.
Was actually going to shorten it up by a foot, but make it wider.
Yeah, because they wanted it to look like the one in Caroline Beach. There's a house over there by school.
That's one of those that we were all friendly and everything until they didn't get the answer that they wanted in here.
But they were flipping it anyway.
That's what they're trying to do.
That's what they're doing now. They said they're not never wanted to. But.
Right.
I find it hard to believe.
I've already had dealings with them since. So a couple of months ago, they tried to put a storage shed up, and went out there and told them to get a building permit. They came in and complained to the mayor about this and that. All I wanted to do is make sure the tie downs were down right and it met the ordinance or met the setbacks. That's all I cared about. I don't care if you want to put a shed up in your backyard. I didn't want flying into the neighbor's yard. Woman got so upset, she started screaming at me and walking down the road screaming and crying. Started complaining to the mayor about it. Well, they ended up getting their shed. Well, then a couple weeks later, about a month ago, they applied for a sunroom. They put in a sunroom off the back porch. That's one of those Florida things where the design is from Florida. That's why I was kind of, when you said Florida. I get stuff from down there all the time. People say, well, it's from Florida, so it must be all right. No, that's not always the case. But I had all kinds of problems. I probably had 3 inspections and I failed on that little sunroom.
Anybody got anything else? You finished?
I'm done.
You're done. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. I found that very useful. I think it really good. But just understanding how you go about doing what you do really is kind of helpful when stuff comes up or the board.
And something else I'll tell you, if something is questionable to me, I'll be the first to pick up the phone and call the town attorney and have him read over and see if he thinks the same way I am. And then with new ordinances that we have, I'll call new ordinances, the past couple of years, I'll call some of our P&Z board members and say, look, I think this is our intent. I already looked up the minutes. This was our intent. Do you think that's what it was? Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'll double check some things just to make sure.
I think that's where Charlie's coming from, is his stint with P&Z and how he had to do so much more than we do here, and he just can't separate that in his mind.
That and the ordinances have changed drastically since he was on P&Z. I agree.
Okay, thank you. Maybe not. New business, anybody got any new business?
No.
Okay.
Just need to schedule our January, for January.
We have a date for that.
January 23rd would be the fourth Tuesday of that month.
Okay.
It's actually 5 weeks, but you...
And that's our annual, meeting.
That would be the organizational meeting, January 23rd. But I'll send out a reminder.
Okay.
I'll send it.
Yeah, I'll just say y'all know I'm not planning on being in that one unless you've got something that specifically want me there for.
We adjourned?
I motion to adjourn.
Okay. We are adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Peter.
Disaster safety goal.
Disaster safety dot org.
That's here.
Okay. I'll get over there and get that. I send you an email, or Cozy sends me an email.
Tuco.
Okay. Just leave it like that.
Sure.
I'll
do it. Sorry. You want a good evening?
Hey, you too. Okay. I'll see you later. Right.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Okay, see you.
That just cost us $300.
Will you turn?
Nobody told him to come. We just had this discussion last month, too. Yeah, we had that discussion with you, remember?
Yeah.
And it wasn't your fault last time.
It was my fault last night because he said, shall I come? And I said, no, I thought he was not going to say it. I was going to think twice about it. But then didn't we send him an email saying, don't come unless we ask you
to come? I just told him, yeah. But that cost us about $300.